So, whom shall we start with? You, we'll start with.
So I already sent the update through email last week. So after that, I just tested all the system calls and
What?
first I said that I implemented all the system calls now.
So the last week when you canceled the meeting,
Yeah.
that's when
So after
you
that, I
realized.
just tested all the system calls and refined some codes, and also I found some bug and I was doing the bug fixing. So that's the development part.
So what's going on? I mean, what is the roadblock at this point you're facing? What is the major roadblock? Why are we not having data? Why are we not running experiments and why are we not collecting data? Where is the roadblock?
Roadblock means what?
Why? What is it stopping you from creating a chart?
Evaluation chart.
Mm-hmm.
We have to design some benchmark, or we have to implement some for testing.
Is that a roadblock?
No.
You know what a roadblock is? Like something that's a barrier.
Oh, okay.
So what is it that's preventing you from creating a chart?
Think we have to plan some micro benchmark and then test.
This is your PhD. Work on it, right? If you have any suggestions and something that I can give input on, I will certainly be happy to. But come up with a question. What I don't want is that you sit back and expect that I will tell you each and everything that you need to do. You have to think about your paper. What is it that's going into your paper? What is the next thing that you need to fill in gaps in your paper? And if you're getting stuck, tell me exactly what is stopping you, and then we can brainstorm about it. So that's what I meant when I asked for roadblocks. What is the roadblock?
I can create some micro benchmark, like creating 100 or 1,000 regions and then allocating.
So whatever evaluation plan you have has to be, motivated. There has to be a reason for why you're doing anything. What is it that you're trying to evaluate? What is the baseline that you're comparing against? And that will determine what kind of chart you're going to produce.
The PMFS paper I saw just starting, and it the comparison of their the evaluation is actually against the existing file systems, how they work on a RAM disk. So they compare with the existing file systems with the PMFS, and there's another one which they modified one of the libraries, POSIX libraries, I think, to use the PMFS. So for our one, we can actually do the same thing, compare with the file system.
Can we compare against PMFS?
It's open source, I think. Try to.
Okay.
They have the, yeah, it's open source. And they have these micro benchmarks of creating and the things.
What are they creating in their micro benchmarks?
I actually didn't see it.
Okay.
The graphs of create, update, and there's one which was a transactional, for the MMAP one, they use transactional, one transactional library or application, which just inserts, deletes, and does other things. So it's like, I think, Memcached DB or something like that.
Okay.
Not the same one, but some application which uses the database system.
Okay.
So they did this kind of evaluations.
What I want you guys to do is to come up with an evaluation plan, right? Which we need to populate in the outline that you created, right? And we talk about the outline also. But one thing that immediate next step, because it seems like you've reached a certain point and you're lost what to do next. Is that right? Is that right? At least I feel, I get that sense from you that I don't know what to do next. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be the case, right? So every time that happens, send me an email saying that I'm lost, I don't know what to do next. If you don't tell me, I won't know. I have to extract that information by asking you all kinds of questions, right? But at the same time, you know, when you find yourself in a situation where you've done what you thought you should be doing and you don't know what is the next step, think about the paper, because that will give you direction. What is it that you're, anything that you do, by the way, whatever code you write, it doesn't have any value unless there is a direct benefit to a paper. In the end, your research is a bunch of papers that you write, because the paper is not just stuff that you, you know, it's not just writing, it's intelligent writing. It's a consequence of all the work that you've done. Eventually, I mean, all the work that you've done, you're just taking out the essence, the most important things, and putting in the paper. And then you have your portfolio is a set of papers at the end of your PhD, which define your work. And much of it will go into your dissertation, right? The point I'm trying to make is that all the code that you write is all fine, but it's not the end goal. The end goal is the paper. If you don't get it to paper, whatever you're doing is completely worthless. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't get it on paper, it's completely worthless. But whatever you're doing is really important because of its potential to be represented in paper. You cannot just start writing arbitrarily. You have to do the work and then you write about it. But if you do the work and not write about it, then all the work is a waste. Okay. So whenever you're doing your work, always have the paper in mind, which is why I started you guys on the outline. Because the outline will define what is it that you should be spending time on. Where are the gaps? What is the next important thing? It will help you prioritize. It will say, okay, this stuff is more important for the paper than this other thing. Because in this paper, I'm going to tell this story. And as per this story, doing a certain kind of development and working on a certain direction is more important than another direction. Help you prioritize. Okay? So, the evaluation, because we're doing systems work, is perhaps the most important section of all. You might have a great idea, unless you're writing like a 5-page workshop paper. This is true of every paper. You might have a great idea, but if you don't evaluate it, no one is going to take it. You have to evaluate it well. So you need a plan. Now you come up with a plan based on a PMFS paper, which is fine. Ideally, your plan should be independent of, first of all, your plan should be independent of any other paper. What is the ideal evaluation that you would like? Now that ideal evaluation may not actually be the best one, but from your standpoint, given all the work that you've done, you think this is the evaluation we need to do. The evaluation plan needs to start by laying out a set of questions that the evaluation needs to address. So your first task is to come up with a list of, say, 3 or 4 or 5 questions, okay? Those questions need to primarily help you convince the reader of your story that you're telling in the paper. Here is the story, right? Here are the questions. If we get the right answers, or if we get answers to them, we'll convince you that my story is good. Because otherwise it's just some story without any evidence. The evaluation provides the evidence, right? So come up with those questions. The next thing then is to design ideal experiments to answer those questions. It's possible that some of those experiments are not feasible. It's also possible that some of those experiments are not the best experiments, but we can work on them. We can also look at other papers eventually to get ideas for what, you know, or is there a better experiment that we hadn't thought of? Right, so all of that can be done. So I want you guys to you know, think along these lines. Think from the paper standpoint, because for research, time is always at a premium. If you're not focused and if you're not thinking about the paper continuously, then we might lose opportunities. And a lot of the work that you do might have, you know, we might have to shelve it because we didn't do it in a time, we didn't get to the paper in a timely fashion. So let's have a discussion around that. Is okay, where are we at this point in terms of our design? Where are we at this point in terms of our storyline? Right?
Hey,
and I want each of you guys to tell your version of the story of the paper. Right? And then we can brainstorm about, you know, what an ideal story of the paper should be like. And then, you know, once we have that settled, you guys can work on the evaluation plan. So maybe we can start with you, Russell. What is the storyline for the paper?
Yeah.
Have you thought about it?
Yeah. Sure.
Tell us the story.
Maybe I want to more. Our reason system is workable. Like we can.
The story doesn't start like that. No one knows what a region system is. You're not telling the story to me. You're telling this to an arbitrary computer science graduate. No one knows what a region system is.
Okay. So, for supporting non-volatile memory, so right now the current interfaces are not sufficient. So we need to...
Why?
Because our current operating system supports either for block-based interfaces or for memory loader store operation type interfaces, and there is, and since the memory currently available is volatile, we don't have any notion of consistency issue. So we have to design or modify the interface in such a way that the interfaces of non-volatile memory in the operating system should provide some consistent property and also atomicity of the operation. So for that purpose, we are planning to introduce a new module, like a region system. In the region system, we have persistent regions, and an application. And this region can be used either by application or by library, like memory allocator library. So, and our region system supports several interfaces, like same as file system, like create, open, and allocation of
pages. I'm losing the story now because you're going into the details of the interface and so on. You started off the story by saying that, first of all, you had to say non-volatile memory is important. Like, maybe you didn't say that, but let's say you said it. And then the next thing you said was that the current operating system interfaces that allow access to storage or memory are not suitable for non-volatile memory. Right? Actually, let's call it persistent memories. Persistent memory. And then you said, you gave one reason as to why. I asked you why are they not adequate. And you said something about volatile memory not providing guarantees of persistence and consistency. But you didn't say anything about block-based storage. So your story needs to be complete, right? So that part was missing. Anyway, that's a gap for you to fill up. And even the rationale behind why volatile memory interfaces are not sufficient was not entirely clear. You said something like it doesn't provide durability and consistency, but why? Why doesn't it provide? I mean, what makes you say that it doesn't provide? Right? So you have to fill in those gaps. Because in the end, a paper needs to be rich in terms of the material it presents. Your the richness of a paper comes from at least two primary aspects. One is the kind of material you present and the depth with which you present it. Right? Are you just presenting the material at the surface level and expecting the readers to fill in the gaps? Or is your description more comprehensive and complete, that you're attacking all the points so that there are no gaps in the reader's mind? That's really, that makes for a good paper, which is likely to get accepted. So when you're writing about the motivation, you have to be thinking about the depth. So what is the fundamental reason for why the current memory interface, although memory interface is used for volatile DRAM, why can't I use it as is for persistent memory? It's just an interface. The interface doesn't dictate the kind of device you can use in the back end. Why can't the interface be used for persistent memory? You have to attack that at a fundamental level, right? And then the next thing is block-based. Why can't you use the block-based interface? And why can't you use MMAP-based interface? Right, your discussion has to be richer in that sense. Okay, let's say you motivate all of these. The next step is what? What is the next step of your story? This is a story.
And then we can try to understand the reader. So how these problems are being solved by our approach.
What are the problems? You haven't told me about the problems. Why are these problems, by the way? Are they problems or something else?
The requirement.
Requirement
is we need to include in operating system. So
why? Right? So, it's not sufficient to talk about the requirements. You have to motivate the requirements. Say, this requirement is necessary for this sort of applications, otherwise this sort of applications will have some problems. Right? So that's where the depth comes in. So when you write about the requirements, you motivate each requirement and make them compelling, so that when the reader reads them, they should feel, okay, the existing interface do not meet all of these requirements, and therefore I'm convinced that you need something new. At that point, that's how the reader should feel. Think about it from the reader's standpoint, always, right? And then, once you made the reader feel that way, then you talk about what is the next thing.
So, for non-volatile memory, we have to design something in the middle of volatile memory and the block-based system. So,
mm-hmm.
So the block-based system has namespace property, but they are designed to support block-level access. Right? And the memory interface there, and the memory interfaces provide accessibility in byte generality, but they don't have namespaces. So. And for persistence property, we have to keep the names so that the application can store persistent data, and then after a certain time, they also can retrieve or they can use the data.
You're talking about requirements still, right? You're still talking about requirements.
So, yes. And for this purpose, our design is focusing on the namespace and the persistency. Persistence and consistency properties. So, and we, our design has some namespace properties, like application can use some persistent namespace to store their data, and then the application can use the persistent data later. So, for that case, we are introducing the same interfaces like file system create create something like create reason, and then the later time the speculation can open the persistent open the reason by persistent name. So, and also after opening or creating persistent reason, so after opening the persistent reason, the application can store their data or modify the data in a region. Like they can allocate some space to store their data in a base as
well. Why are you talking about all this? How is this part of the story? An application can store data and so on. I mean, why is this part of your story?
It's how to solve the problem.
How to solve which problem?
How to fulfill the requirements.
Which requirement?
The requirements you see before.
Which one? Specifically which one?
For the open create namespace is creating.
Okay, so but you're talking about interface now.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about interface? There has to be a connection. There's a story. You cannot arbitrarily put material in it that you feel like you should be talking about. Right? There has to be a connection, a thread connecting everything. One motivating the next discussion and so on. We haven't yet said anything about interface, but you're already talking about how to, you know, what the interface provides and such, right?
So our system can provide a common interface to the application, so that the application can transparently use the user system, and they can use store modified data persistently.
I can barely hear you. You have to speak loudly and clearly.
So our system provides common interfaces to the user application, so that the user
common,
yeah. Oh, like,
why do you say it's common?
Like the interfaces, so that the application can use these interfaces to their own purpose. So they can transparently use that easy. Persistent properties of the region.
Why does your system need to do that? Why is this the right way to do it?
Because our system is open to both application level users and also library level users.
Okay. So, but why does your system need to be open to both? What is the motivation to make it open to both kinds of usage?
So that the application can use our system, but the application needs to maintain some data for tracking the persistent namespace and also other application allocation data. But if the application wants to use a library, so that they don't need to focus on complex implementation like tracking the persistence data and other things, so that they can give the burden to
library. So the both direct application usage and library based usage is motivated based on what you said. Okay. And that's why you're saying common?
Yeah.
Well, common across direct usage and library usage?
Yeah.
Okay, so but you don't have to say that. It just is the interface that can be either used by application or library. Right? That's understood. Okay, so let's say that you introduce your interfaces that way. You need to talk about what motivates your interface. Every discussion in your paper needs to be motivated. why are you talking about something, right? So you, specific aspects of your interface, you can classify various set of functions that the interface provides and say, okay, this provides this set of interface satisfies this requirement, this set of interface satisfies this requirement, right? And that's where you, that's how you connect it to the previous discussion of requirements. Okay, so let's say you do that somehow, right? You fill in the gaps and do it. After you discuss your interface, then what is the next thing of your story?
So interfaces, then we have to build it or...
Build it?
Yeah, we have to build it.
Validate.
Validate,
okay.
Build or work like, by...
You have something missing here? So you talked about the interface,
okay.
And you're going to the experiments, or are you doing something else?
Well, we can discuss some design and architecture.
You can, but why? Why would you do it?
So that the interface and the requirement reflected with the architecture and the design.
From the reader's perspective, what is the need to present a design?
Because the motivation behind this temporal memory related things should be reflected on design so that the reader can understand that this namespace property and consistency property is present on design.
No, that is not correct. Why does any paper need to talk about the design of the system?
Because how can we achieve the interface we are proposing?
Mm-hmm.
The way of...
A design is presented to convince the reader that whatever interface or properties of the system that you claim that you have, the reader is convinced after reading the design that it is actually possible to do it. So you're presenting the details of your design to convince the reader of the feasibility, in this case, of your interface. So you talk about the design, and the goal of the design should be first to convince the reader about what I just said, and second, also convince the reader additionally that whatever design you're coming up with is efficient, right, and is feasible to be implemented, right? So you need to make sure that is, that comes across. Then in the design itself, you need to, every section, within each section, you need to think about a story. What is the story of the design section? At a high level, you have a story, but within each section, you need to have an additional detail story at a different depth.
We can divide the story several ways. Like, first we can discuss the namespace story, and then we can discuss the allocation, and then we can discuss the maintenance of consistency.
Okay. So you have some story in mind for each of these. How does your consistency-related story go?
So, consistency-related, we can discuss the PM sync and snapshot-related here.
So, you can, one thing is that you can just lay out whatever you, whatever design you have. But to make the story more interesting, what is important to capture in your discussion is, why is it challenging to implement that interface, okay? Why did you take this specific path? Why is your design like this? Instead of just putting that, here's what we did, here's, this is what, we did this, and then we did this, and then we did this, and we achieved our goal. Why did you do it that way? You have to be able to, that's what creates the richness in a paper. That's what makes the reader find your paper more interesting, as opposed to just laying out all the things that you did. The thought process that you went through before you did that, right? So you can certainly go back to some of the recordings we have to refresh your memory as to why we did things in a certain way. Try to capture all of that in paper. The general recommendation that I will have is for you to have a notebook, okay, and write salient points in that notebook whenever we have a discussion, right? Important things. If you're having a brainstorming session, if you came up with a certain kind of presentation of a certain concept in the brainstorming session, write it down. You don't have to write detailed report. Just write brief pointers for yourself. Because why it will help you, or when it will help you, will be when you start writing. Because otherwise you have to go through the archive of recordings to extract a few bits of interesting points. Or you jog, you know, refresh your memory, think about what we spoke about. It's much easier when you see that, okay, there is a rationale behind. And some of it might be discarded, and that's okay, but at least you have it handy in your notebook. The point is not to write everything down. The point is to write the most important things down, because otherwise you'll end up writing a lot, and then again, it's the same problem of searching through all the stuff you're writing. So I would highly recommend having a notebook where you save the notebook just for the most, what you find are the most important points in any of our discussions. Okay, so like I said, you had to motivate why it's, you chose a certain kind of design. Is it because of correctness? If you don't do it in a certain way, your answer will be wrong. Is it because of efficiency? Is it both, right? So try to make your discussion rich from the ground up, and that's really important.
You know, when we wrote the virtual assistant report, what I tried to do is to focus on the atomic transaction, final atomic change
mm-hmm.
of the region system or
yeah.
metadata, and describe our design around that. So I was planning to do the same for the full design also, so that we can say that, okay, to achieve atomicity, the update, atomic update, we needed to do this in our design. And we don't have, another point what I had in mind is to, we don't have to do undo, we only do the go forward, so what we discussed on the previous.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, for the last level of the design of the system architecture, we can discuss about that also. So
yeah, I think one salient aspect of your design is this dual pointers idea and why you're using it, right? That's to reduce the number of copies. And so those are the kinds of things you should not just talk about. You should be able to motivate it, why you did it this way. If you just write it down plainly that here is our design, it has two pointers, one is pointing to snapshot, one is pointing to current, the readers will not appreciate the value of it. They will not even know why you're doing it this way. Like, you have to talk about why. Because if you don't, then the alternative is this. So the way you present it is the first design was the previous one with only one pointer, and then that had this recursive copying issue, and then you fixed it by doing... Just like those guys in the BPFS motivated the short circuit shadow paging idea, do it in a similar way. So although your current state is that you have a certain design, when you write a paper about it, you have to tell a story, which means that you also have to present alternatives. You have to present, okay, here is one way to do it, but it has this problem, and therefore our way is motivated.
So we can discuss the snapshot current point, which we designed earlier,
yeah.
Top level of region.
Yeah.
So then we can compare with the current design.
Yep, exactly. And everything has to be illustrated as much as possible, supported with illustration. Okay, so let's say that you have a story around, this is what I mean by story, that there has to be motivation and logic behind why you chose certain design, right? Okay, so let's say you did this section, then what is the next part of your story?
Evaluation.
Okay. So why are we evaluating?
We have to discuss about the implementation.
Don't ask me, ask yourself and come up with an answer and then convince me that that is the right answer. This is not a classroom.
Yeah, we
okay,
can.
That's the most important thing here.
We can discuss a little bit in the evaluation section.
Why? And what?
Do it on the, like, how we implement the copy and write, or how we implement the periods, and how we update the final.
Uh-huh.
I think these fine points can be like in the design section.
Yeah.
Rather than
implementation.
Yes.
And why did we use memory variant instead of cache flush to make more efficient?
Yeah, I think that's that. The fact that you're choosing memory barriers instead of cache flushing is not, in my opinion, a big discovery.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing to do. It's just that you're doing cache flushing when you could have done memory barriers, right? Earlier you were doing cache flushing. And eventually you realize that you don't really need to flush the cache. That's the next, first of all, it's expensive and it's not necessary either. So I won't spend too much time on it. I certainly won't play it up, meaning that I won't stress it, saying that it's something that we came up with. Okay, so next step of your story is the...
And the evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What is the story there? So I would like you to think about the story there, because it's not an easy story. You cannot just come up with it like that. Given the story you've already been constructing, think more deeply about that story, build it up even, you know, whatever, fully. And then think about, for this story to be convincing, for a reader to be completely convinced that this, whatever we are, you know, claiming in the story is actually true, what kind of experiments do you need? How many experiments? Before you get to the experiments, like I said, you have to come up with the questions. What questions does this evaluation need to answer? Answering those questions will convince the reader that my story and what I'm doing is actually all good, right? And then after you have the questions, come up with the experiments, one for each question.
So I think first of all, we need to validate that our system is working fine.
Yeah.
And then we can concentrate on consistency or atomic update related issues.
Okay.
And after that,
when you say working fine, you mean it is correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so you need... That's one question.
Does
the system perform correctly?
Correct.
Does it? And we have to define what we mean by correct. Right?
Yes.
What does correct mean? So think about that, and then you design an experiment.
After we are testing that our system is correct, then we can compare our system with...
So what is the question there?
What is different on your system related to previous work? Why we need this new solution?
Why you need this new solution is already discussed in the previous part of the paper. Here the job is to demonstrate that whatever system you're building is good.
Mm.
And how do you demonstrate that? You demonstrate the merits of your system relative to existing systems. Right? And the first thing you said is independent of other systems because it relates to the correctness of your new system. The second thing is perhaps a comparison with an existing system. And the question is, what are you comparing and why are you comparing that? Right? And the whole point of this comparison is to show that whatever you're proposing is superior in some respects, in most respects, hopefully, right? That applications can use it better in comparison to other existing systems. Right? So there may be more than one question along these lines. And then what is the next question? The another set of questions could be related to the sensitivity of your system to various parameters that are configurable, right? Another question could be related to overheads. What is the overheads inherent in your system? The sensitivity, what are the parameters? Are there any parameters in your system that are tunable, that are configurable? And does the performance or anything else, correctness, whatever, change because of that? Are the consistency properties defined differently depending on one of these configuration parameters? Okay? So there are many such questions. And all the questions put together should convince the reader that they absolutely need to have your system. Right? You're selling your system through the evaluation.
It's something like we have these interfaces which are very useful.
Mm.
Like everybody can use them. So
yeah.
So we can modify some existing applications to show how easily they can use our...
Yeah, so for instance, the lines of code metric is one common metric that people tend to use, right? If you look at the soft PM work, again, there are some experiments designed of that kind, that nature that you could borrow from, but there are other papers also that you can get some ideas from. But the first thing is to come up with these questions, and then you can design the experiment. Okay, what is the next step in your story? Let's say that you've convinced the reader that your system is great. Then what is next?
Then we can put some challenges and some limitation of our work and
okay.
Also some future.
Okay. Okay. So again, you have to think about what are the bullets there. Right? What are the challenges, limitations, and future work. Okay, so that get this on paper as soon as possible. That should be your goal. Because you are here to get a high-quality PhD degree. A high-quality PhD degree, fortunately or unfortunately, involves writing a bunch of high-impact papers. If you don't have paper, there is no impact of your PhD. That's the reality. Unfortunately, that's what it is. And there are good reasons why it is this way. Because in the end, after you graduate, what is it that you have to show? You're not going to show people all the code that you wrote. What they're going to read is the papers that you wrote, because that's the essence of your work. Okay? So whatever you're doing, take a step back, think about how that relates to one aspect of your paper. Make sure that you spend as much time, if not more, working on the paper as it is that you're working on your whatever implementation you're doing. Because you'll spend a lot of time. Writing a paper is time consuming because it's not just writing. It's also writing well. It's illustrating, making sure that you have the right graphics for every concept that you think needs illustration. It's designing the charts, you know, all of that, designing the experiments, everything takes time. So spend that time. Because I know you guys will be leaving in the first week of May sometime, right? I want you guys to finish this before you go. And I think you can.
We have to write out the other solutions, the related works, which manage the persistent memory, the NVMEs and other things. Should we focus them at the beginning?
Beginning.
Because
in this case, it has to be beginning because there's already a lot of work and people will be wondering what is new about this.
Yeah.
So when you're doing the motivation for why, that has to include the discussion with the table and of the related work and so on.
And
so one of the requirements may be your columns,
yeah,
and the solutions may be the rows, and then you can mark yes or no or maybe or whatever, or different degrees, and it needs to be presented. So it requires, writing requires a lot of time.
Another thing is the assumptions of the persistent memory characteristics in the future. Why we are trying to use these use it as a device closer to directly accessible by CPU. So we need some data to put there, like this. The trend is such that.
So the paper that you pointed me to, NVM Duet,
yeah,
makes that assumption. PMFS, I don't know if it does, but
it has a table.
Yeah.
So I think we should put that in the assumptions, like in the section.
Yep, absolutely.
We need to discuss the emulation of
simulation. One of the things that we're working with Intel is to get this in their simulator, but for now you can assume that it's going to be DRAM. You're going to simulate PCM DRAM the way you're doing it right now. We can start writing that way.
I've been trying to write the, like you say, introduction and conclusion of each section, but I started from yesterday. So I wrote a few sections, but it will be completing like 2 or 3 days for each subsections.
Yeah, think about the story we discussed today, how your, how that story is reflected in your writing.
Okay.
So
you can meet on
We can meet on Friday. Friday we don't have a paper club this week, it seems.
I think we better meet next Tuesday. Get some time and it's.
Yeah, if we can meet on Friday, no problem, but there has to be a good reason to. I would much rather have you guys spend time thinking about the outline, coming up with the initial draft of the paper. I know that you already have the implementation sorted out, right? There's nothing.
One problem. Trying to add the memory value. The configuration which was used, it was some bugs. Like if we remove the zone NVM config, then there's some crash because. It is not properly tagged actually. The if def.
But if you keep the zone NVM, it's fine, right?
Yeah, because I was adding this new course, so I have to figure out where to put this. When merging with my code, I have to put some other tags like.
Is that okay? So here's the thing: if it's a bug that you know doesn't affect the behavior of the system, it is okay to leave extra code there. Yes. I mean, I won't spend too much time trying to, if it's taking a lot of time to debug.
Okay.
Just leave it there. Because it
doesn't put another config.
Yeah. Something. Yeah, don't. Like I said, every time you decide that here's the next thing I'm going to work on, think about whether you really have to work on it. And what I mean by that is, does it have any implication for the paper? What if you don't do it? Does it affect the paper? That will save you a lot of time. Okay? So, what I want you guys to do is to, finalize the storyline. We talked about it a little bit today, but I want you to think more deeply. Finalize it. Write the story separately somewhere in the form of bullets. Right, every major point is a bullet, and try to incorporate each of those bullets in the various sections. Where does it fit? Make sure that every bullet has a place for discussion in some part of your outline. Okay, and then work on the introductory and concluding part of each section. All right, anything else? Once you have your questions, then we can, discuss the initial experiments you come up with. Yeah? Okay, good. And how's everything else? How's your coursework?